flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just give me your experience playing in Philadelphia.
I love playing Philly. We were 17. We were 7 down with 17 to play in 07 to the Mets, and we run down the Mets and to win the division, and that's when everything started to click. You know, we had a great group of guys. But up until then everybody was getting replaced. Charlie was getting fired, but no one's coming back in 2008. Second place. We suck. Then, the town's tough. It's the hardest place to play until you win. And we caught fire, right down the stretch, and Jimmy was MVP that year. Ryan was MVP the year before. Chase is one of the best players in baseball, and all of a sudden we put it together, and we run down the Mets in 07, just insane comebacks and time. Then we run into the Rockies in the first round of the playoffs. We get buzzsawed. Next year in 08, we're 7 back with 20 to play, and we're going through the same shit again. Like, it's everybody's getting fired. Everybody's getting replaced. And we run down the Mets again, win a World Series. And, that town didn't come up for air for, 6 years or something. It was a sellout every night from, middle of 08 to, sometime in 2013 or something. So, in the middle of that, I go and sign with the crosstown rivals with the Washington Nationals. And, every time I would come on the field and in Philadelphia, I'd get booed out of the stadium. So, I know a little bit what it's like to be on the both sides of the coin there in Philadelphia. But awesome sports town. Wouldn't trade my time in Philadelphia for anything. The guys that we played with, those teams were just, we were all in our primes. We're all late 20s, early 30s, and hungry, and we had great chemistry. Charlie was an unbelievable skipper. We had Davey Lopes coaching first base. We were like, I think in 07 or 08 or 09, somewhere in there, we broke the record all time for team stolen base percentage. And it's like, we had Davey Lopes at first base, like whispering in our ear and giving us all these pointers, whatever. I mean, we never got thrown out. That was one stat that was overlooked on those teams. Like, now they've changed, things have changed with how you hold runners, but up until those rule changes, I think we were 1-2 all time team stolen base percentages. And that was one thing that, it was like base running and defense. We did that really well.
You had old man Moyer on that team, Jamie Moyer, my teammate in Seattle for years. You got your fill of Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, Jamie was great. I ran into him a couple of years ago down here in Florida. His kids are going to the IMG Academy, and so are mine. So I got to hang out with him, post baseball career, and he was great. I ended up facing him in one of those games, like a simulated game before one of the playoff series. He needed to face some hitters, and I think I was struggling one of the series, whatever. So I was like, I want to see what this looks like. I don't get it. Like, this guy's he's throwing like a 79 to 81 heater. So I got in there And I think I was like one for three. I hit a ball good off him, but I struck out twice. And I was like, oh man, now I get it. Like it was the weirdest stuff I'd ever seen, because it wasn't overpowering, but it was sneaky, and the ball would speed up on you at the plate, which is weird because it was totally throwing like 80. And yeah. And so I like it all clicked. I was like, I get it now. You know, now I understand how this works. He's just crafty, and it's so much different than anything I'd ever seen. But yeah, he was part of that rotation with, you know, him and Cole, and then we had Brad Lidge at the back end, and you know, Joe Blanton, and you know, that those teams were just a bunch of like awesome dudes, and it just clicked, man. We made it work.
And Moyer too, in between pitches, he always would run up, and he's talking to the hitter mid game, and I never understood that. I faced him in like a, you know, in spring training, you got an inner squad or something. I'd face Moyer and he'd be talking, but then you don't really care there. But I mean, in the middle of a playoff game, Moyer go all the way to home plate and start talking to the hitter, and the hitter's looking at him like, what's going on? And it would kind of throw him off. That was kind of a part of his game.
Yeah. And he would hold the ball, you know, he's always real methodical about what, you know, what pitches he was throwing. He was, you know, he was so prepared, and he would think, and he would hold the ball. Then he, you know, he'd ask the umpire for a different ball just to make sure that he got, you know, he got it right in his head before he pitched. It was. I think in 2010, we had him and Pedro would piggyback.
it was those two back to back.
It was quite the tandem.
Captain Caveman, give me the whole thing behind. I look around now, today's game. Everybody's got a beard. Everybody's got the hair. My generation, you know, I finished. Last time I had a uni on was 08. It wasn't really a thing then. And now all of a sudden it's everywhere. But you were one of the originals. Give me the whole thing behind the hair, beard, and the Captain Caveman, kind of what people – I don't know. Did somebody coin that phrase?
Yeah, I don't mean there was Wolfman. There was a lot of you know, Werewolf. There was a bunch of different
Werewolf.
In Washington, there was one of my walk up songs in Washington was Werewolves of London, and everybody would howl. That was a good one. But I think the whole thing started. You know, I had some tough battles with injuries, and when I was younger, and in the spring training of 05, I had a breakout season with the Dodgers. You know, I was just shy of some at bats to be considered for rookie of the year. You know, I had like 16 homers and like 290 at bats in the second half or something. And you know, played you know, great. And 05, I was supposed to be the starting left fielder. And like first game of spring training, I got hit, AJ Burnett, 96 off my wrist. And you know, I missed most of 05. I had surgery, missed all of 06. Another surgery, and I signed with the Phillies in 07, and I was still kind of like trying to figure this out. I had a very rare wrist injury that took a while to figure out, but the night before that first game in the spring training of 05, I went and got my hair cut, like, you know, start the season, and you know, you gotta come in clean shaved, clean cut, and this guy went on and on, this barber telling me about how it's, he's good luck, he's good karma, getting your haircut's good luck, getting your haircut's good karma. And the next day, I about blew out, never played again. And it always stuck with me. And there was a day, in, I think it was 07, when I was with Philly, and I got a haircut, and I pulled an oblique the next day. And I was like, man, fuck these haircuts. You know, I started to think like, I'm not getting my haircut again. Every time I do, I get hurt. And I'm like, seriously, there's more to it than just those two occasions. So by my free agent year, 2010, I'm like, I'm not getting a haircut. And that's where the kind of the long hair and the beard, you know, started. And had a big season in 2010. I think I was like sixth in MVP voting or something like that. I led the league in doubles, and I went to Washington, and Jim Riggleman was the skipper in 2011, and he called me in his office in spring training. He's like, I'm going to need you to shave and cut your hair. And I was like, I don't know if you want to do that. You know? Yeah. And So I complied, and I ended up hitting like 211 and had one of my worst seasons of all time. And I came into 2012 with a different attitude, different mindset. And it kind of went from there. And, you know, the Nats were okay with it because we started winning, and we started, you know, kind of becoming who the Nats ended up being. And they just kind of let it go, and it turned into what it ended up. But that's kind of for better or worse, that's the story.
I'll tell you what, you know, the Yankees are the only team that hold that, you know, you got to have clean shaven, and you can only have a mustache and hair. And I've never been, even in more conservative times, you know, when I was coming up, and your spikes had to be black and all that stuff. I'm like, I kind of don't like that. When you're at the highest level and play, we're fickle enough. I mean, if I ate fish and chips for lunch and I got three hits and drove in three, believe it, I'm having fish and chips tomorrow. That's just the way I was thinking as a player.
Yep.
And I always thought, man, why don't you remember back in the 90s, it'd be like, oh, you got to have stirrups on and you got to show 3 inches. And I always used to thought that was crazy. I said, I don't mind doing it because that doesn't bother me. But if somebody doesn't feel comfy dressed a certain way or wearing a certain thing or their hair has to be a certain way, I said, if I got my players and I'm paying them a lot of money at the big leagues to play, let them be comfy. I don't care what they wear whatever they, as long as you play good, wear it the way you want. And I, to this day, you know, cause you'll still have people like, even at the lower levels, like, well, no, I want you to be wear this and this and this. I'm like, let the kid play. He feels good the way he dresses, the way he wears his uniform, whatever spikes he wears. Now, if you stink, you might put the black spikes on, cut your hair, put a collared shirt on, and say yes, sir, no, sir.
But it's got to work, good, right?
Wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
I used to tell young kids when they were young player, you know, when I was a veteran, they'd come in, they'd say, Booney, what do you think? I'd say, if I were you, I'd wear cotton Dockers, an Izod. I said, part your hair to the side, say yes, sir, no, sir. I said, you make an all-star team? Bleach your hair green and put a nose ring in, and nobody gives a shit. But
don't
until
do whatever
then,
you want.
Just do it, right? So
yeah, you look good. If you look good, you feel good. If you feel
absolutely
good, you play good, you get paid good. So
I'm with you on that.